going to bow together in prayer and look to the Lord. Let's all unite together in prayer. Our Father and our God, we bow this evening in thy holy presence, thanking thee for the one who is the Redeemer, for that great work of redemption that has come to pass through what Jesus Christ has done. We rejoice that he is the Redeemer, the only Redeemer. There is none other who can redeem our souls from sin and bring to us forgiveness and cleansing and acceptance with thyself. It is only through the work of thy dear Son. And we bless thee that he ever came into the world to undertake this work, that he would be willing to go to the cross and to do all that was required. Lord, we praise thee that he completed that work. He said that he had a work that his Father had given him to do. And there, as he gave up the ghost, he cried, "It is finished." And Lord, we praise thee, the work is complete tonight. And we come depending upon a finished work, trusting alone in what Jesus Christ has done. We come not in any merit of our own, for we have none. And we dare not come trusting in ourselves. For Lord, in us dwelleth no good thing. From the top of our head to the sole of our foot, there's no soundness in us, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh Lord, that is how we are described in the Word of God. And we acknowledge that this evening. We accept that we are sinners, unclean, and also under condemnation. Oh Lord, we're those that, as we are, we will bring the wrath of God down upon us unless we are redeemed, unless we come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and that experience of the new birth. And Lord, we pray that thou will therefore have mercy upon us this evening. Bless us as we gather here. We thank thee for the opportunity to be in the house of God this morning. And Lord, as we continue with these drive-in services for a few weeks, we pray for thy presence and for thy blessing. We ask thee, Lord, to use thy word as it will go forth. We thank thee for the hymns that we can sing. Lord, we praise thee for the one who has made all of this possible, and it is our desire that we might exalt him in all that we say and do, that Jesus Christ will be glorified, exalted amongst us and in this neighborhood and community that we are found in. Lord, it is our prayer that others would come to know him, that they would taste and see that thou art good, that they would realize that there is a need to seek the Lord, and it is time to seek the Lord. Oh Lord, we know not what a day may bring forth. And therefore we pray that there would be an urgency in people's hearts and in their lives about the things of God, that they would have a concern about their soul and where it will spend eternity. And we pray that there would be those who would indeed be drawn unto thyself. Come and work by thy mighty power. Lord, single out individuals, and more than just individuals, even families and households, that thou would, Lord, be pleased to intervene and begin to work in the lives of individuals. And whoever might be under the sound of this service this evening, that there would be a word in season, that some little seed, O Lord, would drop into their heart, and that it would begin to take root and bear fruit, even bring forth the fruit of repentance and the fruits of righteousness. O, be gracious to us, we ask of thee, and tarry with us, we pray. And we ask that in all things thy great name will be honored and glorified. Bless thy word as it goes forth now. We pray, Lord, that thou will use the word of God, advance thine own kingdom through it. It is the means that thou hast ordained. And Lord, that's why we give place to the preaching of the word of God. For it is that means that thou hast ordained in the word of God, that it is through the foolishness of preaching that thou will save them that will believe. And therefore, Lord, save souls, we ask of thee. Bring sinners to thyself. Work in hearts and lives, we pray. And may there be the application of the word of God tonight to some heart with power, with saving power. There might be signs following the going forth of the word of God. So be gracious to us here. Remember every other gathering that there is this evening where the word of God is being preached, whether out in the open air or whether in church buildings. We pray, Lord, thy word will go forth. We think of broadcasts that are going out over the internet as well. And we pray that thou will honor thy word. Oh Lord, it is our prayer that there will indeed be a turning unto thyself, that we will see times of revival, times of thy right hand, times when there's a turning to thee rather than a turning away from thee. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou will bring that about and send forth thy spirit, send forth thy light and thy truth, as the psalmist prayed. Lord, we would make that our prayer this very evening. So abide with us now, we ask of thee, for we pray in our Saviour's worthy name. Amen. Amen. I want to turn in the Word of God now to a portion of Scripture in the Old Testament. It's Isaiah chapter 55. And I want to read a few verses just at the beginning of this chapter, and then we're going to think about the opening verse that you have here in Isaiah chapter 55. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, I shall call a nation that thou knewest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word to all of our hearts this evening for his own name's sake. It is the opening verse, as I indicated there, that I want to turn your thoughts to for a little while this evening. Those words, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And the picture here is really of the Lord standing in the marketplace as a trader, and he's calling upon individuals to come and to buy the wares. What is on offer on the market stall? That's the picture that is here. Something that would be a very common picture, certainly amongst the Israelite city, certainly amongst those that were in the city and in the towns and villages as well. At some stage there would be a market. There would be a place where individuals would gather and they'd be selling their wares. And the Lord Jesus is, the Lord himself here in his word, is taking on that imagery of the market trader. And there he is calling out to individuals. You see, it's interesting to notice the two chapters that go before this portion. Isaiah chapter 53 and Isaiah chapter 54 are very important chapters. Certainly, if you know your Bible, you'll know the significance of Isaiah 53, that wonderful chapter that speaks about the person of Jesus Christ, the suffering servant. And there he is, set before us as the one who suffered and why he suffered and the outcome of his sufferings there in Isaiah 53, where it says, "He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." And then you come into chapter 54, and in that chapter you can highlight some of the blessings that come from Jesus Christ, the one who is the Lord's suffering servant. There are blessings, everlasting blessings, that are mentioned there in Isaiah chapter 54. So there's been a setting out, as it were, of the person of Jesus Christ and then the work of Jesus Christ. And then you come to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. And there's this call that goes out, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye, come ye." So there's this invitation then to come and to partake of what there is provided for individuals. And my friend, when we come to think about the gospel and the preaching of the gospel, when we think about the work of Jesus Christ, there is indeed many comes, many exhortations to come to the Lord. You can go way back to Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, is where you find the first exhortation to come in the scriptures, and it's to come to a place of safety. It was that exhortation for Noah and his family to come into the ark. And that's the first exhortation to come that you find in the Word of God. And many others follow on through the scriptures, and also here in the book of Isaiah as well. There's that exhortation that you find in chapter 1, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." Isaiah 1:18. And he's calling on the people to come and to reason, to think this through. The Lord has made his rational creatures with the ability to reason. That's what marks you and I out from the brute beast in the field this evening. We have the ability to reason. We have a rational mind. We can understand things. We can communicate. We can reason. And God says, "Come now, let us reason together." And there he was calling the nation of Israel to give thought to how they were before God and also to what they needed before God. And you can work your way on through the prophecy of Isaiah thinking about those two themes, what they were, what they had become, a sinful generation, and then what was provided for them. And that brings us, you see, to these chapters that I've highlighted to you, Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 54. The person of Jesus Christ is set out, then the work of Jesus Christ is set out, and then we come to chapter 55, and there is this exhortation to come. And as I say, it's like the market trader. There he is, he's spread out his wares, and now he's calling individuals to come. Come and partake, come and buy. Come and buy. Because that's the line that you have there. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." So there is this call to come. And for a few moments, I want us to consider why it is that we need to come. When that invitation, when that exhortation goes out, why is it that we need to respond to it? And if you're unconverted, unsaved, under the sound of my voice this evening, well, why is it that you need to come to Christ? Why is it that you need to consider him and consider his so great salvation? Well, first of all, it says something here about our need. There's a summarizing of our need. You see, it's a need that is peculiar to all because it says, "Ho, everyone." It's not just a particular class. It's just not a very narrow group of individuals that the prophet has in mind and ultimately the Lord has in mind, for it is the Lord who has given the prophet the words to speak. He says, "Ho, everyone." And as it is a reminder that the gospel is needed by every individual in the world. There's no exceptions. It's not somehow that we can be outside the class of those who need the gospel and who need to think about the things of God, who need to think about Jesus Christ. We can never be outside that group of individuals who need to come to Christ, who need to think about his person and his work. "Ho, everyone" brings every single individual within the scope of these words. So there is that general statement that brings everybody in. And then as it brings everybody in, it highlights the fact that there's a thirst in every soul. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." There's a thirst in the human soul that nothing in this world will satisfy. Because the things of this world will never minister to the spiritual nature of the soul. You can pursue the pleasures of the world and whatever else in the world that you want to pursue, but it'll never satisfy. All the pleasures of sin last for a season, the Bible says, but they'll soon turn to bitterness. And you'll need more and more of the same to just get the same level of satisfaction. The things of the world do not satisfy. For this simple reason, they do not ever and they cannot ever minister to the soul. And it is the soul in which the thirst lies. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. And what is in view here is soul thirst. There is something that is lacking. There's something that we have lost. Because of our fall into sin, mankind has lost something. And therefore there is a thirst in the soul this evening. A thirst that only Jesus Christ can satisfy and meet. Because he is the one who has come to give us eternal life. He is the one who has come to meet the need of the soul. And therefore we are reminded in these words, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth," that there is indeed a deep thirst in the soul. So there's a need here to come. If you're a thirsting soul, then there's need to come to Christ. If he is the individual who has provided that which will satisfy the soul, then surely there's an exhortation to come. There's a need to come tonight to Jesus Christ. There's something else that is highlighted here, and that is that we have no money. We have no ability to buy for ourselves that which we need. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye." He that hath no money. You see, there's the picture of the market again. And the individual would like to buy something, but they can't afford it. They don't have the means of paying for it. And there they are, looking on at certain goods that are on display, maybe even hearing the market trader calling out for their attention, extolling all the qualities of what it is that they're selling. But there's the individual and they can't afford it. Don't have the means of paying for it. Well, here's an exhortation that goes out to such an individual in the spiritual sense. "He that hath no money, come ye." Because it is a reminder that what we need, we cannot provide by ourselves. That which satisfies the soul, that which we need in order to not only satisfy the soul, but to save the soul as well, is not something that we can pay for by ourselves. We cannot make it, we cannot earn it, we cannot pay for it. Oh, how needy we are then. And yet, here's an exhortation that is directed exactly to that individual, to all mankind generally, to the soul that thirsteth, and to the individual who cannot provide anything for themselves, who cannot save their own soul, who cannot satisfy that deep longing that is in their heart. They are exhorted to come. Come to Jesus Christ. Come to him. He's the one who has provided everything that is required. As I mentioned there just at the beginning, there is in the previous two chapters the setting out of the person of the suffering servant and then the blessings that he has secured. And here he is now calling upon individuals, "Come, come to Christ, come to me." And may we indeed be those who come. And if you're tonight listening to this message and there is that thirst in your soul and you realize that you cannot provide anything for yourself, that you might realize, "Well, I can come to Jesus Christ. I can come to Christ." The second thing I want you to consider here, we're to come to Christ because of the excellency of the things that are offered. That's highlighted here again in this statement. "Come ye to the waters. Come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And let's just think about those terms that are used there. First of all, water. How important is water to the thirsty soul? If you take it physical thirst, and in the land of Israel, and that part of the world generally, water is not very plentiful. A soul can be thirsty, traveling,
out working in the heat. An individual can very quickly develop a thirst, and if they don't have access to water, to clean water, then they're going to be in trouble. And how important water is to the body and to the quenching of the thirst of the body. And that's why the picture is here used of what the Lord has done, what the Lord has provided through his work on the cross for sinners. He has provided that which will satisfy the soul, that which will quench the thirst. It's like water. And you think about those verses in Scripture that liken salvation to water. That last day of the feast, John 7, where the Lord Jesus stood and cried to those who were in Jerusalem worshipping at that feast. And he said that he would give them water to drink. Because part of that ceremony at that feast was going out to one of the fountains and bringing water, bringing it into the temple, pouring it out before the Lord. And as they were doing that, that's why the Lord Jesus uttered those words that day. When he highlighted, you might be going out and fetching physical water, but I can give you spiritual water that will quench the thirst of your soul. And there in John's Gospel, chapter 7, he cried out those words, exhorting individuals to come to him and take of the water of life freely. And out of their soul, he said, there will flow rivers of living water. That he would give something that would satisfy continually, satisfy for all of eternity. You go over to the last book of the Bible as well, and you'll find references there to the water of life that the Lord gives freely. Well, my friend, salvation is likened to water. Water to a thirsty individual. And there is that in Jesus Christ which meets the need of our soul and satisfies the soul. That is why you need to come to Jesus Christ. But then it goes on to speak about the wine and the milk. The Bible says that wine, if you have, look at Psalm 104, verse 15 it is. It says, wine maketh glad the heart of man. There's a joy in coming to know Jesus Christ. The Lord makes glad the heart. Oh, he takes away the sorrow of sin. He takes away that fear of condemnation. He takes away that thirst that there is in the soul. And in its place, he gives a joy. There's gladness in coming to know Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks about the blessing that belongs to the individual who knows their sins forgiven. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, the psalmist said, and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. There's a joy, there's a gladness that the Lord puts into the soul. And here he is exhorting individuals, come to me. I'm the one who can give this to you. I can give you that which not only satisfies, but that which gladdens. And those who know Christ as Savior can indeed testify that there's a joy in their soul when they've come to know Jesus Christ. There's a joy unspeakable, is how the Bible describes it. You can't really describe it. As the old Puritan said, it's better felt than telt. There's a joy that is past words, past description. Yes, you can speak about it and testify that you have indeed it, but you have indeed experienced it. But to be able to fully describe it is not something that is possible in the human language. It's a peace that passeth understanding. It's a joy that is unspeakable. And that's what the Lord is saying here is what he will give to those who come. He says, come, I'll give you water. Come, I'll give you that which will gladden your soul. And then the milk. The milk is that which nourishes. The newborn babe depends upon milk. Its whole existence, the strengthening, the growing that's going to take place in that little infant is all dependent upon the milk that it's going to be fed. So the thought here is of the Lord nourishing the soul. The Lord blessing it, advancing it, increasing it, nourishing, giving benefit to it. You see, there's no loss in coming to know Jesus Christ. Is not the lie of the devil when he tells individuals, oh, you'll be worse off if you were to come to Christ. If you were to come to Jesus Christ, you'd be worse off. It's the very opposite that is the case. It's not a matter of being worse off. Oh, we're 100 times, 1,000 times better off. The Lord will add to us. He will bless us. He will nourish us. He will do so much for us. He will bring so much blessing into our lives when we come to know him. And then there is for us a future in glory, and that place that he has provided for us. So when we think about the excellency of what is provided here, surely that's reason to come. There's water to quench the soul. There's wine to make glad the heart of man. There's milk to enrich the soul. Jesus Christ then says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come to Christ. One final thought. Why are we to come? Because it's free. The gospel is free. Do you notice those words at the end of that verse? Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. The gospel is without money. Praise the Lord. We can't pay for it, as we've already been noticing, but there's somebody who has paid for it. Jesus Christ has paid for it. He laid down his life at the cross to provide for us eternal life. And tonight there is salvation to know and to enjoy and to partake of. And it's free. It's free to the sinner. All they have to do is come. Do you imagine being out in the market and somebody calling the market trader, calling attention, getting everybody's attention, and then starting to give away the very best of goods free? Giving away the very best of goods free. Well, that's what Jesus Christ is doing. He has come. He has lived. He has died. He has worked out redemption. He has completed the work. He has provided everything the sinner needs in order to get them to heaven. Everything is found in Jesus Christ. And then he says, it's free. It's free for whoever will want to take it. It's free to whosoever will come. Without money and without price. And when you think of the fact that we cannot pay for it, we can never do anything to pay it off. It isn't a matter of taking salvation on higher purchase terms. No, we cannot pay this off. But the gospel is without money and without price. And tonight, that poor, thirsty soul can come and take the water of life freely. I've already quoted those words. And isn't it interesting that the New Testament uses that terminology? That whosoever comes, they can take the water of life freely. It's free. Salvation is free. Free for whosoever will come. And I pray that if you do not know Christ as Savior this evening, that you indeed will come to Christ. Come to him. Come and take of his not only so great salvation, but so free salvation. As those words, we'll just read them one more time. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. All the blessings, the richest blessings of salvation are free tonight to sinners who will come. Will you come, therefore? Do you realize you need to come to Christ? And in realizing your need, then do come. Call upon him even where you are now. Sitting in your car, wherever, walking along the road, if you hear the word of God to your heart, then call upon him. Call upon him and be saved. The gospel is free. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts this evening for his name's sake.